Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's September the 6th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And then we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. We'll have details of the agricultural news stories for the day. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and a story about the disconnect between cash prices and the Chicago Board of Trade. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour on Thursdays, we always talk to meteorologist Peter Levin. He'll join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It happens right here on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report. Taking a look now at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the September wheat pit at $8.16 were down 26.5. December's 11.5 lower at $8.24 for the afternoon. From the corn pit, nearby Seps at 3.23 1/4, 5.5 cents lower. December futures at 3.39 1/4, down 6 1/4. And the March contract down 6 cents at 3.55 3/4. December corn futures next year at $3.92 3/4, down 4 for the day. September soybeans, $8.78, down 11. November beans were 10.5 lower at $8.92 1/2. And the January's at $9.08 were down 10.5 as well. Next year's November beans finished the day at, well, I have to pull that up just a second. I don't have it anywhere. We'll get to it in just a second. Taking a look at the numbers in the rest of the complex. Bean meal futures at 242.80. They were down 260 for the day. And the bean oil at 37.08 was down 23. November beans for next year at 904.5, by the way, were down 13.5 cents. From the Mercantile Exchange, October feeder cattle at 96.80, 25 cents lower. December futures, 32.5 lower at $100.22.5. Sep feeder cattle at 119.47.5 were up 37.5 cents, and the October futures at $119.15 a hundredweight, 25 cents higher. October lean hog, $66 even. They finished a dime higher for the afternoon. October crude oil, $76.27. They finished 54 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,352. The trade is just about 47 points higher at the last tick.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Thursday to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace today. Maybe we ought to start in the wheat pit and the difference between the Kansas City and the Minneapolis Grain Exchange contracts and the expiration and that which is happening in Chicago.
Well, wheat, of course, has been the big leader here over the past, I'd say, the last week or so, where wheat has kind of jumped up over 50, 60 cents in a 3 to 4 day window. Now, a lot of that was driven by some dryness in Australia. The forecasts did indicate that maybe a little wetter weather pattern is maybe on the way in the wheat market, and that kind of sent everything to the downside, at least on the soft red winter wheat. Now, the Kansas City wheat has had a little stronger performance here today, especially on expiration. I don't know if you really want to count the September contract so much when you're this close to expiration or when you're in the delivery period. I look more toward the next month, like December futures, I think probably give you a little better indication of what's going on in the market, because both those contracts are kind of in liquidation, and it's the last minute position squaring and that kind of stuff that kind of take place. So, but that's been that was the key negative here, at least initially here this morning. The other things probably on both corn and soybeans have been the FC Stone crop estimate that showed larger numbers from their August estimate. And then here during the session, we did see the Infoma numbers, and they also raised their numbers from their August estimate. So We did get some larger corn and soybean production numbers, and when you combine that with a lower wheat market, everything was pretty much on the defensive for the rest of the day.
We should go through those numbers very quickly. FC Stone releasing their numbers yesterday, a 13.062 billion bushel corn crop at 152.9 in form at 13.323. They say it's 156 bushel to the acre nationwide. And Allendale went the high number so far at 157.1 to the acre at 13.416 billion bushels. On the soybeans, the Informa number at 42.1, Allendale at 43.3, and Stone at 42.4. All those were higher than what USDA was expecting, and next Thursday we'll get to find out what they have to say. What have you been hearing there in ADM Decatur about the yields that have been coming off of the southern territories of the Midwest? Just extraordinary what I've seen go through my email.
Well, right. I mean, basically, central and southern Illinois and the southern growing regions are the only place going. There's not much activity. There might be one or two going someplace in the northern Corn Belt and the western Corn Belt. Most of it is here in central Illinois and further south. Well, I haven't heard anything without a two in front of it on corn. I mean, we're hearing some awful strong yields coming out of here, central Illinois, as far down as southern Illinois. So, I mean, the trade is hearing those big numbers. We got a long ways to go, though, you know, and maybe get into some of the drier areas. But for the most part, I think with the Infoma number and the FC Stone number, you know, I think the trade is growing more comfortable with a corn crop of 13 billion bushels or larger. And I think that's, you know, kind of a pivot, especially given the dryness that we experienced here over the past 30 to 45 days in a large area, the growing area. So the growing, you know, with the trade growing more comfortable with 13-plus billion corn crop, I would expect the seasonal pressures will probably, you know, keep corn somewhat under wraps unless USDA throws us a surprise here next week.
Well, that would be interesting to watch the seasonal pressure stay put on the corn, given that we went to, what, a record spread with the wheat to corn over $5 or at $5 last night?
Well, yeah. This is just a period in time where we do wild things, and I know everybody's been watching that wheat-corn spread. That's the most popular spec trade probably going, is when should I get short wheat and long corn. I don't know if we hit that here today or not. You need to see some downside follow-through probably in wheat. But, you know, the whole market complex, I think, with the strength that we've seen here over the past week is ripe here for, you know, a setback, period of consolidation, and just take a breather going into USDA's crop report next week and see what kind of, you know, U.S. numbers they give us, as well as some world numbers, and how that may or may not impact supply and demand tables.
What are you thinking, if anything, about adding to cash sales of either corn or soybeans in the face of what so far we've seen is a bigger crop and numbers that are coming in? Or are you thinking that corn doesn't like wet feed in particular, and that the northern areas might not yield what?
Well, I don't. I mean, it all depends upon where you're at, I suppose, in the sales structure. But I think, you know, when you look at some seasonal tendencies, and then I look at some of my weekly cyclical work, it does suggest that the corn market and the bean market is vulnerable to some price weakness as we go through the month of September, as we go on into early October. Now, whether or not that's enough to send us to new lows or below these July lows, we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. Beans has a way to go. I think the corn market is probably more vulnerable because, you know, overall that trend looks like that's kind of shifted sideways, and with 370 kind of as the top end, the bottom end kind of is like a 3.25, and we're kind of about in the middle part of that range or a little bit below that after today's decline, but the midpoint of that range is around 45, 48, and so I think we're going to consolidate here in that trading range for a while, and then depending upon how quickly harvest goes and if the yields continue to come in as strong as they do, we're probably going to go down and test that bottom end of that sideways trading range.
And so let's say that we do that. We have a wall of corn that comes in. We test the bottom side. How quickly might it recover given the demand structure you see for next year?
Well, the demand structure is very good, but we're not going to use it all in one day, and that's the key here. It'll take a while to chew it up. The pipeline's going to get full with new crop inventory, with this big a crop, but demand's going to chew at it, but it's going to take time for that to kind of disappear over the fall and winter months. But I do think at some point in time the market is going to maybe get past harvest pressure and start taking a look at the 08 production crop prospects. And I guess, you know, when you look at corn only closing down a nickel to 6 cents today, looking at the Infoma numbers and the Sparks number or the FC Stone numbers kind of tells you the market is ready to kind of look beyond the 07 crop and want to begin to considering what kind of implications the price of soybeans and the price of wheat may have with corn acres. So it's not going to take the market too long, and I think we're going to start focusing on 08 production crop prospects, but we need to get past this USJ report next week.
Well, if you're an end user, are you going to wait through the report to see what happens, or are you going to try to lock something in?
Well, my guess is the end users would probably take some patience. It is a big corn crop, there are going to be some storage problems in some areas of the Corn Belt, maybe not all areas. But if I was an end user, I'd probably be looking at, you know, using scale down weakness here over the next 3 to 4 weeks to probably build a long position. But, you know, they're going to take their time. I mean, with the 13 billion bushel corn crop, there's no urgency here to kind of go after this thing and build a real big long position in the market.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwickers with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Reports. Happens on Thursday. Our own Ed Kieser forecast for tonight across the two-state region says skies will be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, most numerous across northern and central Illinois and northwestern Indiana. Lows will range from 67 to 72. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, humid, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 78 in far northwestern Illinois to around 90 in the south.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
In today's agricultural news, World Trade Organization Chief Pascal Lamy told a business forum in Sydney that while global trade talks are progressing, the differences are narrowing. They need political will to bring them to a final conclusion. Lamy says he hopes to reach a compromise by November on farm subsidies and market access, which has been the main stumbling block for the Doha round of the trade talks. Well, Bayer Crop Sciences is changing its research to more closely match what it calls the new agricultural economy. According to a new press statement released today, the annual research budget for the company will raise to more than $1 billion by 2015. That's a 22% boost. The rising research budget will focus on such areas as new modes of action in crop protection, improved plant health, along with optimized plant characteristics and new agronomic traits. And finally today, the Federal Aviation Administration replaced two satellites of the Wide Area Augmentation Service in July. The new satellites will provide farmers who use GPS more accuracy and better signal strength, but in order to receive signal correction from the new satellites, they may have to update the firmware in their receivers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. Please visit our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. In today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Bilta says it's important to plan out water resources.
Water is one of our most basic needs as human beings and is a resource we often take for granted here in central Illinois. Its abundance and quality have historically come easily to us, thanks in large part to the Mahomet Aquifer, which lies beneath much of central Illinois. However, because this water source is hidden below the surface, it is difficult to know how our use of this resource affects the aquifer's volume and quality of water. Due to expected growth in population and economy, Illinois could require 20 to 50% more water in the coming decades. Thus, in January of 2006, Governor Bob Blagojevich signed an executive order requiring the Illinois Department of Natural Resources lead state and regional water supply planning activities in order to ensure adequate and reliable supplies of clean water for all users and at reasonable cost. This order created the Regional Water Supply Planning Committee, a group of 12 individuals set forth to study and answer our many questions revolving around the aquifer. Authorized and partially funded by the state of Illinois, this committee brings together rural and urban representatives from water management authority, agriculture, small business, and even the public to provide the best conclusion to our many aquifer-related questions. Regional water supply planning will reduce conflicts, increase preparedness for drought, increase awareness of water as a precious commodity, and increase cooperation among analysts and decision makers, meeting the goal of providing adequate supply of clean water at reasonable cost will enhance economic development, environmental protection, and public health. As a first step in the planning process, the region needs to find out where growth is occurring and how much water will be necessary in the future. To gain this knowledge, the Regional Water Supply Planning Committee has been charged with estimating the regional water demand until the year 2050. Until we better understand our water resources, we cannot make informed decisions about how to use and regulate them. The Mahomet Aquifer appears to be an abundant, reliable source, but it requires study to know just how well it will be able to keep up with the demands we place upon it. For the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Bilta.
Kirk Bilta's comments are his own. They reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850. Well, up next, the price of wheat in Chicago has reached record highs, and the soybean contracts seem to represent a world price for that commodity. We'll have a report on the disconnect between the futures market and the cash price for wheat and soybeans in the Midwest. Exchanges, like the Chicago Board of Trade, work to predict what the price of a commodity will be in the future. Eventually, those futures contracts in Chicago expire. And when they do, the price is supposed to be very close to an actual cash price. Scott Irwin, University of Illinois ag economist, says that has not been the case lately for soft red winter wheat or soybeans.
Absolutely. When the July 2007 soybean futures contract expired, the futures price was about 80 cents a bushel above the local cash price at the delivery locations at along the Illinois River. And so we just had a fundamental disconnect that was larger than any that we have on record. And everyone is searching for the explanation. What's caused this and how do we fix the problem?
Right now, U of I Scott Irwin says it appears soybeans and, for that matter, wheat futures in Chicago represent a world or a global price. It is no secret that outside money, primarily from index funds, have been toying with the commodity markets.
We've had this huge wave of new outside investment capital trading or investing in all of our grain futures contracts. And so that can potentially set up a disconnect in terms of value because the contract specifications are written so that the price should reflect, when the contracts expire, the price at the river, Illinois River, in central Illinois.
That's the price of soybeans at expiration. Given that, Irwin says there is nothing wrong if the futures in Chicago represent a world price as long as the contract specifications reflect a world market rather than a narrow cash market, like deliveries along the Illinois River. He says there are ways to change the contract specs to make that market work properly.
Cash settlement is one possibility, and that's where you would set up an average price of, say, could be dozens or hundreds of locations around the U.S. or the Midwest that would be a much broader average. And then instead of settling the contract by physical delivery, all contracts just simply end on the last day and they're settled versus the average price of these cash spot indexes around, say, the Midwest or the whole U.S.
Irwin has been studying the disconnect in the futures market at the Chicago Board of Trade at expiration. He says it causes serious problems for farmers and country elevator operators who have traditionally used futures to manage risk. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. I'm Todd Gleason. Taking a look now at what's been happening in the cash market is Bill Mayer with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is the elevator starting to take any corn in there yet?
Yeah, there's a few guys going. Not anything big, just mainly getting some fields opened up, I think, and really not enough to get much of an idea from a yield standpoint.
Are they surprised by how dry the corn is? Or?
No, it's probably, I would say, 7 to 8 days ahead of normal. They typically get going, you know, mid-September in this part of the country, and so they're about a week to 10 days ahead, probably.
You've been watching the cash market fairly closely as we climb this week.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the freight a little bit today. I think it's important for the listeners to kind of understand what's going on. We've got barge freight levels at, you know, post-Katrina, you know, back 2 years ago levels, 900 on the barge freight, 900%. And what that means is that your cost to go from Peoria, for example, I just did an example, Peoria to the Gulf, that's about doubled. That's, it's increased about 50 cents a bushel on corn in the last month or so here, since the 1st of August anyhow. So that's really pretty important. And rail cars as well, I think we talked about that on Commodity Week last week a little bit. You know, they're running $1,000, say 29, 30 cents a bushel just to get the car. That doesn't include anything for the freight side of it. So that just means from the producer standpoint that if your corn's worth $3.50 at the Gulf, the same as it was August 1st, it's only going to be worth $3 in Peoria instead of $3.50, you know, because of the difference in the freight there. So,
yeah, what is it that's been pushing the freight higher at this point?
Well, I've got my theories, I guess, and one of my theories is that we tripled, quadrupled some of the acres down south. They don't have storage facilities for those bushels. As they take those bushels out, it's pretty much got to go to the export market or, you know, into the supply chain. And to do that, you need transportation. So, in a way, you're using some of the transportation as storage, I think, is part of what's happening here.
These are questions we took up. I think in the springtime we talked just a bit about this, with the idea that if we had that much corn in the south, that the Gulf market might get plugged up in some way. And I guess we're seeing it because those barges are being used in another form. Do you expect that very quickly to start to be alleviated and for freight to get cheaper at some point?
I guess I could certainly make the argument that, you know, as we're trying to do the final clean out here, getting right before harvest, that we're going to see the highest rates. And I've said this before in other meetings, and that if, as long as we don't get surprised by some, you know, big bushel yields that we're not really expecting, I think that's the thing that could make these rates and basis levels hang on longer than we think.
Yeah, what do you think a big bushel yield before I let you go might be? Is it over 13.5, 13.6? What are we talking about?
Well, let's look at on a national yield level for corn. If we get up there in the high 150s to 160, similar to what we had in 2004, I think that's going to be a big surprise. I think, you know, if we're 155 or less, I think that's pretty much what's in the market at this point.
All right. We appreciate you being with us. What are the bids for the day?
289 on corn, 822 on beans.
Thanks much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Some University of Illinois trustees aren't impressed with the university's request for more state money for next year. They say the request should go beyond $118 million so that salaries for top faculty can keep up with other institutions. But U of I President Joseph White says administrators determined the requested increase knowing that this year the state provided only a $13 million increase over the previous year. The request for fiscal year 2009 reflects a 9% hike in money from the state. The request, if passed, goes to the State Board of Higher Education, which in turn sends it to the governor. An academic department at Southern Illinois University has said no thanks to SIU President Glenn Pouchard's request that it review his 1984 dissertation for instances of plagiarism. A spokesman for Pouchard says the department decided that a committee with broader academic representation would be more appropriate for that review. Police say a school bus carrying 14 children collided with a piece of farm equipment used to till soil near the Livingston County community of Sonneman. State Police spokesman Master Sergeant Luis Gutierrez says the crash involved minor to moderate injuries. He isn't sure what school the children were from or their ages. The crash happened late this morning when the bus collided with the farm equipment, which was being towed by a pickup truck. A new lawsuit challenges the constitutionality of Indiana's property tax system. The petition in state tax court questions statewide assessment methods, the use of tax abatements, and several other aspects of Indiana's system. It also argues that Indiana's tax structure doesn't comply with the state constitutional requirement of a uniform and equal rate of property assessment and taxation. Multiple taxing districts can lead to vastly different bills for people living in the same county if they're in different school districts or townships. Attorney John Price, who filed the lawsuit today, says it's a statewide issue. Governor Rob Blagojevich says today's uncertain housing market means Illinois families need all the help they can get. That's why the State Housing Development Authority is expanding its iLoan program, which offers below-market interest rate home mortgages to low-income buyers. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WILL. Usually on a Thursday afternoon, we talk with Pete Levitt. He called and was out of position, actually. He wasn't able to talk to us this afternoon. That's all right, because our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, is in the weather office and should be joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. Hi, Ed. Thanks for joining us and filling in this afternoon.
Good afternoon. My pleasure.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the weekend first.
Well, the forecast for the weekend appears to be changing. I just looked at some new model guidance in and the system that's bringing unsettled weather now to much of the Midwest is going to probably take its good old time leaving. So the optimistic forecast for some dry weather on Saturday, maybe not so much for central portions of Illinois and Indiana. It still looks like northern areas will probably dry out. Southern areas stand the best chance of rain, but I'm leaning more toward a better chance of rain and clouds in central sections than I was earlier today for Saturday. And then on Sunday, it should slowly push southward, so Sunday looks a little drier. Most of the precipitation this weekend will be in the Ohio Valley portion of the Midwest.
And then if you start to look out next week, producers will be gearing up more and more across the Midwest, especially in the northern regions at this point, to start to harvest. I know they're already going pretty steadily in the south.
Well, next week, interestingly, we do have a couple weather systems coming through. There's perhaps a rather significant cold front coming in about Monday and Tuesday of next week, so that could touch off showers and thunderstorms and, of course, bring a little bit of a delay to harvest operations. And then it looks like a low pressure system may establish itself in the upper Midwest for a couple of days, keeping conditions there rather cool and maybe a bit on the damp side. So not ideal weather for harvest next week. But on the other hand, we don't see system with heavy rain just sitting over the Midwest. So there will be some drying in between the showers. So not ideal, but no big problems coming in yet either.
Thanks for filling in this afternoon. We appreciate it, Ed.
You're welcome.
Ed Kieser, Chief Meteorologist here at the WILL radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. You have a good afternoon. Be safe out there if you're getting started on the harvest season. And if you happen to miss one of our AgCast during the day, you can pick it up off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.